Lori, we're back for another week of the Travel Vertical Podcast. How you doing?
Indeed. Thanks, Adam. Doing great and excited that we've got a great guest today, too.
Oh, I'm so excited. We've got Bill Geist joining us a little bit later, and I think it's going to be a great conversation.
Absolutely. He's got a lot of wonderful ideas and always thinking about DMOs, and we're going to be talking about careers.
I love it. And Lori, you know, I wanted to make sure we take the opportunity for those that are maybe listening and haven't been listening consistently. I want to remind everybody what this show is. Lori does a ton of work every week putting together a newsletter for the industry of all the different news that's happening, whether it's in the world of digital marketing or jobs or people who have moved from one place to another. And it's called The Travel Vertical. It's a newsletter and it comes in an email form. And we have taken that newsletter and we've put it in a podcast form. So Lori and I, every 2 weeks, bring you the industry news. And Lori, it's been so fantastic to do this with you. I just thought it would be good to remind our listeners of, you know, what we're doing here, especially for the new listeners that might have recently found the show.
Yeah, well, thanks for that. And for the most part, we're interviewing DMOs on the podcast. So let us know of any interest and let us know how you're enjoying the show.
Absolutely. Well, we want to spend the lion's share of our conversation today with our guest. But before we do get to Bill, Lori, what are you seeing jobs-wise in the industry or anything you wanted to highlight today?
You know, it's the same as every week. There are so many. I'm particularly pleased that I'm getting press releases and emails from DMOs around the country asking me to make sure that they've got their latest information in there. So we endeavor to refresh and renew it every week to make sure that the job listings that are there are current as best we can. There's a lot of jobs coming up also in the States. I think this week, when we publish, we'll see more than a dozen, you know, not just the city DMOs, but also the states.
Oh, interesting. Are these high-level positions that you're seeing? Is it kind of middle of the road or is it all over the place?
It's all over the place from commissioner level to content creator.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. So thetravelvertical.com is where people can find those jobs. And you're right. It grows every single week. And, you know, it's important for those that post jobs with us to make sure that you let us know when the job is filled so that we can take them down. And other than that, I mean, any job that you're in, if you've been thinking about looking for a job or if you want to see what's out there, it's all there on the Travel Vertical.
Yes. And I should say we do have the vendors, you know, from our community, the e-tourism community. The vendors are there too, with lots of positions from vice president level right on down to, well, we're going to hear later about drone operators.
That's right.
You know, there's all kinds of jobs there, but we typically will put in jobs also in on the social media channels, big ones like TikTok and Facebook, and we'll also put in jobs at attractions, big attractions. But I mean, it would run to 300 instead of 200. So we're doing the best we can, but keep it all coming.
Yeah. And I appreciate you always posting my positions that I have out there too. So if you want to work at Relic, you know, keep an eye out on the Travel Vertical as well. And we post all of our jobs there.
Absolutely.
Well, Lori, I think we've delayed enough. It's about time we get to our guest here. I'm really, really excited. It's Bill Geist, and you know, he's been on my show, and he's been on every show in the industry, so there's not terribly unique to my show. But Lori, do you mind bringing Bill in, and let's do a formal introduction here for our friend Bill?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll let you do the formal part, I think. But I mean, the thing is, Bill's not only been on every show, but Bill's got a show. So, of course, I'm listening to Bill's show and loving the content. So had to invite him here as soon as possible to talk about what it was he was talking about on his show. So I'll leave the formal introduction. Maybe Bill would like to introduce himself, but we're going to be talking about careers, and that's always everybody's favorite subject.
Let's do it. Thanks for joining us, Bill.
Hey, and thank you for the opportunity. And as Lori said, yeah, you know, you've been on my show, I've been on your show. We all do this dance, and it's fun. I think the network of those of us that are sharing content from destination marketing and management and leadership, I think continues to grow, and it's fun. I mean, there's more than enough content out there for all of us, and we love telling the stories as much as you do too. So thanks for the opportunity. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to have you maybe for the maybe three or four people in the industry that might not know who you are at this point, Bill, will you give us just a brief, what's your background and what is DMO Pros and maybe even your show a little bit to talk about?
Yeah, the real quick background is, as Mrs. Doubtfire once said, I used to be one. I spent 10 years in the destination marketing world, small suburban Chicago destination first, then Madison, Wisconsin, where we built the Frank Lloyd Wright Design Convention Center. Broke away 25 some years ago to be a consultant to the DMO world, which at the time, we were actually the first DMO consultancy that was run by somebody who'd actually been in the chair. All the other consultancies that came before us were from the industry, but had not actually served time in a DMO. We thought there was an opportunity there. And of course, 25 years later, here we are. So, you know, we're in strategic planning, destination assessments, organizational assessments. We really do the work under the hood. You know, you do the marketing work and we do the stuff that nobody sees, you know, boards, bylaws, budgets, stuff like that. And the podcast is DMOU, which is a pickup. We did a teleseminar series back in the last recession, back in the aughts, called Destination Marketing Organization University. And then, you know, we did that for a number of years. Business kind of got in the way. And so we let it go for a while. And then when podcasting became a thing, we thought, wait, let's resurrect that idea and come back with DMOU.com. So that's ours. And thanks for the opportunity to share that.
Amazing. And you just happen to have the radio voice to go with it, right, Bill?
Well, I did spend 10 years of my misspent young adult life in radio. So it comes naturally, but thank you. At least you didn't say I have a face for radio. Right?
not at all. But I love the DMO background. And I share that with you as well, since I used to be at the New York Convention and Visitors Bureau before it was NYC and Co. But anyway, before there was even an internet and before there was podcasts for sure. But we wanted to catch up with you today, Bill, because you did a really interesting thing. And at I noticed that at Destinations International, you took the opportunity to chat with DMOs on the floor and ask them all the same question. What did you ask?
We asked, what position, either title or position, have you or are you considering that you never would have considered 5 years ago, wouldn't have even been on your radar? And the answers were fairly interesting. I mean, there were some pretty traditional things that some DMOs had done that maybe others had done back in 2017, but they hadn't yet. And it was new to them. And that's cool. But some of the new titles, and I think part of this gets back to, you know, except for the big cities like New York City, Chicago, and the others that had destination marketing organizations back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s of the last century, this is a fairly new industry. And most second and third tier DMOs started in the 80s and 90s. And what did we do? We copied the org chart of the ones who were out there, but that didn't make any sense because it wasn't destination specific. I mean, you know, we don't have a convention center, but we got to have a convention salesperson because they do up in Chicago. Well, no, mm-hmm. you know, we now know that you can build it to the specifications of your individual destination. So that's why we see things like VP of Culture and Operations, Sustainability and Policy Manager, Indigenous Tourism Liaison, Digital Marketing Storyteller, Video Production Manager. And that's my favorite was from Jason Outman in Branson, who says, drone pilot. I never would have hired a drone pilot in 2017.
Bill, what were you seeing in the industry that led you to say, I want to ask this specific question at DI? I mean, obviously, we've gone through a lot of fundamental shifts over the last couple of years, one of those being all these new positions popping up within a DMO. So what was it that you were seeing that led you to say, this is going to be really interesting content?
Well, as we got ready to go to Toronto, we were hearing from Destinations International that they were going to have this big crowd and that half of the attendees were first-time attendees. And that kind of signaled to me, wait a minute, what's happened here is that during the plague, a number of us were forced to lay off, you know, veterans. And as now we're building back, many of those veterans have found other careers, other jobs, and are not available to come back. And so it really is an exciting time because I think it gives DMO CEOs and leadership the opportunity to reimagine, okay, well, if we're coming back strong, what do we need? What didn't we have in the past? And I think that's where a lot of these new titles are coming from, because like Jason said, maybe what I really need is not necessarily another social media coordinator. I need a drone pilot. I need to take this in-house. I mean, I think it's one of the reasons that Visit Philly has been this juggernaut in the Philadelphia area is because they have brought almost all of their marketing in-house. People say, oh, they're bloated, they're huge, they're 70 people. Well, yeah, it's an ad agency. And they're not outsourcing hardly anything, or at least they weren't last time we were hanging out with them a few years ago. So I think that really begets this new influx of titles that you never would have expected before. I mean, our friends, in Ottawa, an Indigenous tourism liaison. And I think probably the one quote that was my favorite of the entire conference was, as we were talking to them, they said, we have been marketing the Indigenous experience, but it's through our eyes. And the Indigenous community there has essentially said nothing about us without us. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly the way it always should have been. But we've never had a position that focused on that to make sure that we are getting the story as they want it to be told. And so, that's why I think we see these really interesting new titles. I don't think we're just trying to be overly creative for creative sakes. I think that it actually really says to what destination marketing will become.
Couldn't agree more. And, COVID is, thanks to COVID, I mean, whoever would think we'd ever say thanks to COVID, yeah, but
right.
It was that focus on the reality of it, that when tourism dried up, it was the community that we had to turn to, and that we had to, not just put heads in beds, and that the success of the last 10 years, which was, 1 year after another, the ROI, and the KPIs, and they go up and they go up. But now it was the moment to take a step back and look and say, hey, are these the right KPIs? Mm-hmm. Should they change? And let's not just count bigger as better, but we need to start. And the people who will come back first, who will they be? Will they be VFR? Visiting friends and relatives. So how important is that in terms of resident sentiment? And, so it's all come to a head in these new titles around community engagement. I'm seeing them everywhere in the weekly listings that we do.
Yeah.
So before we leave the topic of employment, Bill, another question that I want to ask you, Lori and I have been chatting on our show about a trend that we've been seeing that kind of feels like it's growing. And I'd love your perspective on both A, are you seeing this? And B, what do you think the cause and effect are? And that's that I see a migration from the public side, the DMO side, to the private side, whether it's the software companies that are continuing to innovate in the industry, or whether it's advertising agencies or all of the different ancillary businesses that are part of the tourism ecosystem. And I'm wondering what impact you feel, if you agree that that's what's happening, what impact is that going to have on the industry in 5 years?
I think we're going to lose really good people because the private sector typically can pay better than we can, and probably offer some perks that destination marketing and leadership organizations can't. And so that's the downside, is we're going to lose good people. But every time you lose a good person, that's the opportunity to find somebody who can bring in another set of skills to the table that we can benefit from. I think the good side is that the vendors who are providing the kinds of tools that DMOs need are going to be conversant with who we are, what we are, and what we're trying to accomplish. With no disrespect to the vendors and the third parties of the past, most of them didn't come from the DMO world. And so while they had kind of a sense of what we were doing, they didn't know the detail. Today's new people who have migrated over to the private side know that detail. They know it intimately. And I think that they can have probably more intuitive conversations with us to really get to what we need and how their tool or how their service can better move the DMO into that proverbial next level. I shake my head at it. You're right, Adam. The migration has been just so swift, and so many good names and big names are moving across to, as I call it, the dark side. And, I look at Zartico and I think, guys, where do you get the money to hire all this talent? Well, I saw it today. Maybe you saw it too in the newsfeed. They just scored yeah. $20 million of venture capital. It's like, ah,
that helps.
Okay. I get it now. But I think that's the beauty is you've got, you know, companies like these that have access to investors, to venture capital, and can really, really make a big splash and bring in some great names that we all feel comfortable with. We trust. They're our friends. And I think that in the end, we're going to lose some good people to them, but they're still with us.
Well said. And what do you think, Bill, about path to CEO? It's something we've also explored on this show a little bit, because that the role of the CMO, you know, where previously, and I mean going back to the 80s, it was always convention sales where yeah. we'd find the next CEO, because there was no such thing as a CMO. In my experience, it didn't exist. We had a head of membership, you know, a head of PR, a head of tourism development, and a head of convention sales. And there was no such thing as a marketing department. But, you know, now it's data, you know, that's key. And coming out of that department, we see CMOs from larger DMOs going to be in the CEO position in a smaller DMO.
Yeah, I think it's been a, and I don't think that it's a result of COVID or the past few years. I've honestly been seeing this for 10, 12, 15 years at least. And I know if you talk to Mike Gamble at Searchwide Global, he'll say the same thing. I remember talking to Mike and he said, you know, everybody thinks they want a sales guru, a sales superstar to come in and take over that brings a big book of business with them. And he said, invariably, we will do our, you know, 30, 60, 90 day comeback around and say, hey, how's everything going? And they go, well, he's great. But what we really wanted was someone who could go out into the community and, you know, build community support for what who we are, what we do. And I think that that's more and more going to be the marker that signifies whether somebody is CEO material. I think they have to have that basis in either sales or marketing, but they also have to have, sadly, a very political side, a side that understands, and I don't mean R&D, I mean a political side that they understand how that world works, how to traverse that world, how to get people on both sides, both reds and blues, to agree that this is best for the community and let's go. That, you know, there's an inspiration here that we can get an esprit de corps of all kinds of people. And I know that's, it may be a little Pollyannish of me, given where we are today versus where we were 10, 15, 20 years ago. But I still hold out hope that at some point, the ideas that we bring and socialize in our communities can get some bipartisan support, because it's going to be necessary. At the same time, I also have to look at one of my favorite books is by a guy named Quint Studer. It's Creating a Vibrant Community. And Quint, if you're familiar with him, is generally accredited with the rebirth of downtown Pensacola. And in the book, I don't mean to paraphrase too broadly, and I encourage everybody to grab the book because it's great stuff. But Quint says that the era of government taking the lead on visionary projects is probably past. Yeah, that's what we expected in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But today, their mandate and the struggles and stresses on government right now with just limited resources and the whole yin and yang of red-blue, he says we can't count on them to advance big projects. He goes, that's going to have to come to the private sector. And then the public sector's role is to support it. You know, I remember during COVID, there was a great story coming out of Minneapolis where a couple decided they were going to launch a brewery and a brew pub in one of the suburbs. And, you know, this is like December of 2020. I mean, who starts a business in the middle of a pandemic? And they had the city council person who was there in front of the TV cameras. And they said, well, you know, how have you helped? And he says, you know, he goes, a couple of years ago, the general answer to any question from City Hall was no. And he says, during the pandemic, we've realized that our default answer should be, how can we help? And that's, I think, where the public sector needs to be. And we need to find CEOs who are going to inspire the private sector to come up with some really cool ideas to make our destinations even cooler.
I like it. It's interesting to look at how that path changes. And I totally agree with you about the purpose of that role and what you need that role to do. And that has evolved since COVID. You know, a question that Lori and I have been kicking around a little bit is the future of outsourcing for DMOs. And it's funny because I actually feel like the conversation we had a moment ago about the migration of talent, I think, plays into this. But I'm also hearing, as you talk about what's happening in Philadelphia, that they're bringing so many things in-house. What do you see happening there over the next several years?
I think it's going to be a function of budget. I think the smaller DMOs are going to see the opportunity to outsource a lot of what they do. And I think the larger 5, 7, $10 million plus operations will probably look to the Visit Philly model and say, like Jason said, you know, I need a drone pilot. They're going to start bringing in the talent to do things in-house. It's faster. It's more cost-effective. I think it's going to be a duality based on budget. Now, having said that, absolutely opposed to the concept. And I don't think that it's necessarily growing, but it had a couple of moments in the past year where we see communities that say, well, y'all are just an ad agency, so we're going to fire you as a DMO and we're going to hire an ad agency. And of course, the poster child right now, which everybody is watching, is to see whether Duluth, Minnesota, can maintain the level of growth that they had under their incumbent DMO with an ad agency that lives outside of town, outside of state. If you don't have boots on the ground, you might be able to outsource parts of what you do, but at the end of the day, every DMO must have boots on the ground that are in the shops, the restaurants, the night spots, the hotels, the attractions on a regular basis. Just staying in touch. What's new? You know, where's the content? Where's some new pictures and video I can use? You know, what's the new line? What's the new menu? And to have that information, that just can't be outsourced. It just can't. So I think that there's always going to have to be a core. But yeah, I think that, you know, for the smaller bureaus, I think that the third parties are becoming much more adept at delivering the kind of productivity that we need.
Yeah, as the owner of an advertising agency, I cannot imagine what's happening in Duluth, because it's such a leap upstream from what the role of an ad agency is and has been. It doesn't mean it can't be done, but without boots on the ground and seeing what DMOs do on a day-to-day basis, I have a hard time imagining a successful experiment there. And it's going to be fascinating to watch. But that would be my major concern, is if you don't have the boots on the ground, how can you do all the different things that a DMO and their staff does on a day-to-day basis?
Well, and I think that the pandemic is a great example of that. And, you know, for as great as Relic is as an agency, I don't think that I'm speaking out of school here to say you would not be able to put one or two people on the ground in each one of your client destinations to do the kinds of things that DMOs did during those first 4 or 5 months of COVID. That's
not
an impossibility. Right.
Now, if anybody wants to know more about Duluth, just go to the travel vertical, you know, and you'll find a little search box. And if you just pop in, Visit Duluth, you can find 5 or 6 or 7 articles that we wrote as the news developed there, and you'll see exactly what happened. And I think in one of them, I quoted Bill, who said, you know, it's really important for DMOs to keep their eye on stakeholders. And, you know, you don't want to wake up one morning and find out that actually the mayor is not in your corner. So, you know, here was an agency that was around since 1935, I think. Big surprise on what happened there. But anyway, you can track the stories. And within the travel vertical, Google up, search Hawaii if you want to see another story, developing story about the changes that are going on there.
And there was one that just came across my desk today. So there are two relatively small Lake Michigan communities here in Wisconsin, Manitowoc and Two Rivers. And they've had a contract forever with the regional DMO, Both cities ended that contract at the end of last year. They have their own city departments that are trying to move forward. And they just announced that the two DMOs are going to go in together on next year's visitor's guide. Mm-hmm. I just went, wait. Can you tell me why
back.
You guys split up? Because if you're just going to get back together and do everything together, that just doesn't, well, you know.
And may I presume that'll be a print piece of collateral.
Yes. Well, and you know, they'll do a wonderful job together. I mean, you know, that is a destination that it is, it's one destination. I mean, I know they have two city town names, but it's, I mean, that's for us in Wisconsin, if you're going to Manitowoc, you're going to Two Rivers too. I mean, it's part of the deal. And it always has been. Yeah.
Well, Bill, it's always fantastic to pick your brain. I wish we had more time, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join us, especially to talk about some of the most interesting issues in the industry right now, because the shift in employment and the market trends that are most likely going to continue. I think it's important that destinations stay on top of it, and I appreciate you helping us do so.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity. And I know that you are very modest, Adam, and you don't promote your book. But if anybody's listening and they have not yet gotten a copy of Touchpoints, do so. It's a great book.
Oh, Bill, you're awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I agree. And also, check out those jobs. Hey, we've got them every week in the travel vertical, and the list just keeps getting longer and it keeps changing. So if you want to be a CEO, look there. And if you don't want to be a CEO, look there.
I love it. And thanks, Lori, for all you do on a weekly basis to help keep the industry informed. And thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. If you enjoyed today's show, please don't forget to leave us a rating or a review. I guess I forgot to ask Bill how people can learn more about him. Bill, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they want to know more?
Probably the website, which has the podcast, it has the Z News, it has the blog. Everything is concentrated at dmopros.com. Thank you.
Perfect. Everybody go check that out. And thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.